Holla at your boy. I'm starting in like a YouTube video. You know? It's like, hey, what's up, boy? Your boy? Right on. L2L. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's just me and Charlie today. We gave Naomi the day off, but don't worry, she'll be back. She'll be back just in time to talk all about Christmas.
Yes, right.
Because, you know, boy bands and Christmas are hand in hand. I'm sure she's going to tell us all about all the best boy band Christmas albums. But that's what we're doing today. Today, we're going to do a best of 2021. Just me and my old pal Chuck here. We're going to keep things cash. So I'm skipping that fucking open spiel because whatever.
So cash.
That takes up too much time.
Yeah.
We're busy people. It's the holidays. So we're just going to do a little rundown of what happened this year, what our favorite shit to come out this year was. So, Charlie, how you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. My name is Quinn. I guess I didn't say that, but you guys know. I'm skipping all of it. All right.
You put it right there. It's in the, if they clicked on the episode, it says Learning to Listen with Quinn, Naomi, and Charlie.
Boom. That's right. Okay. So 2021 happened. A whole fucking year went by. I remember I was bringing this up to you guys the other day, and I was like, and Naomi was like, didn't we just do, and she wasn't saying it like tongue-in-cheek or ironically or anything. She was like, wait,
we just did that.
That was, a year ago. Like, holy fuck, man.
I mean, I get it. I agree, and I feel exactly the same. I was like, I listened to music this year? What's happening?
Yeah, dude, we listened to a whole fuck ton of music, man. That's the whole podcast is about, a fuck ton of music. So, okay, before we get into any categories, I wanted to ask you, because we were talking about this, and you're like, I don't know, man. I don't think I listened to anything new this year. Those Spotify year-end reviews came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing new on there. Okay, there's one or two things new on there. But, like, it was mostly stuff that I listened to for the Greatest Albums of All Time series.
Right. Because you're using Spotify.
I'm using Spotify for my research.
Streaming music. So, yes, if anything's not in your personal library, which quite a bit of it is not.
That's true. I did listen to the stuff I had. So that also taints. It's funny because it like taints your algorithms and stuff. Because like, so, I would listen to a bunch of things, but just on my stereo, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I got a thing for that I knew going into this that it was going to screw up my algorithm a little bit. So whenever it's something new that I'm a little bit unsure about how I'm going to like it, I'll listen to it on an alternate source. So I've got an Apple Music account. Yep. I'll listen to it on Apple Music. Actually, I like Apple Music too, because that's really helpful for the lyrics, because anything that's at least fairly popular, usually there's a little like lyrics button you can press and it scrolls the lyrics in time with the music, kind of karaoke style.
But
that's fun, because I can listen to the music and read the lyrics in real time.
Right.
And
not, but for that, you gotta pay for that, right? Like, you have to have this second subscription.
I guess so. I don't know. I just have it. I don't even know what I pay for anymore.
Who knows?
There's also shit just comes YouTube. Off my credit card. YouTube, you can always find albums for free on YouTube. Yeah, there's a million ways to stream shit. Everybody's got fucking Pandora and all kinds of stuff. Like,
that's what I've been using. That's how I got our Limp Bizkit album in.
Yeah, exactly. So Spotify, it's funny. At one point, I used to prefer Apple Music over Spotify, but then Spotify kind of started knocking it out of the park for, I don't know, just the user interface. Mm-hmm. Like, they figured it out, and now Apple's, they've kind of left Apple in the dust, where I find Apple's now the clunkier of the two.
Sure.
But it used to be the other way for me anyway. So since Spotify became my preferred streaming, I was a little more careful with the algorithm. So if I know I already kind of like David Bowie or something, I'm like, oh yeah, fuck, I'm going to listen to that on Spotify. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I'll switch over to Apple Music if I need like some clarification on the lyrics or something, maybe. But the thing is with the Apple Music is if I'm listening to something and I'm like, oh, actually, yeah, this is great, this would be in my collection, then I'll start listening to it on Spotify.
Right.
You know, to give it maybe the next like spin or two. Because yeah, you're right. Like, all of a sudden, you know, there's been a couple of times where I got lazy and I couldn't find something on Apple Music for whatever reason. And then I was listening to it on Spotify instead. And then I'm hanging out in the real world, like with people, you know, just hitting random on Spotify.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the fucking Bartman starts playing and everybody's looking at me going like, the fuck, dude. And I'm like, what? You don't get down to Bartman?
That's great.
Right. So I've tried to keep my Spotify algorithm. Not, I don't want to say pristine, because one of the things that kind of drives me nuts a little bit is how dialed in my algorithm is, where I don't hear tons of new stuff if I just listen to my own Spotify tastes and playlists. I know that I've tried to curate playlists, like collaborative playlists.
Those duos. So
it's like, yeah, throw some shit in there that I don't listen to all the time. Or what's been fun is there's those, I think they're called blends.
Oh yeah, blends. Duos.
And I'll intentionally find somebody who's got a completely different taste in music than I do.
Mix it up.
And blend it with them. And that's fun too, because then it turns out that they update them every once in a while. I wasn't sure when they first did it. I was like, okay, because like I listened a handful of times with a couple of people, and then I was like, oh, this is the same thing over and over again. But over time, as your algorithm like gets updated, theirs does too, as long as they keep listening. And then it's kind of been fun to go in there and just be like, oh man, there's no way in the world I would have like thought to listen to this or pick this or whatever. So it just completely throws. It's better than the duo one. Just is like more a melding of your tastes. Like here's where your tastes overlap. Blend is more like, is a little bit more.
Oh, I see. This is
like this person likes this song and this person likes this song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with a little bit of overlap, but not as much.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's been kind of fun. So I like finding ways to, you know, to try and throw the algorithm off a little bit, because yeah, man, it dials in too much. And then next thing I know, it's like all it's suggesting to me is the same fucking like five albums over and over again. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I already like these. I already listened to them. I need to hear new music. But okay, so that made me think, where do you hear new music these days?
Oh, I mean, for me, I guess the biggest place is satellite radio. Here's another plug for satellite radio.
Yeah, I know you and me.
What I like to call it, extraterrestrial radio.
Yeah, we've talked about it a few times, but I really appreciate satellite radio, and I'm very much willing to pay a subscription fee for it. Mm-hmm. I get a bang for my buck out of it, you know. It's less passive than terrestrial radio. You don't have to hear fucking ads all the goddamn time. I mean, there's still some station identifiers and stuff like that, but that's it.
Yeah, you know? I mean, occasionally they'll say something like, go to channel whatever if you want to hear this Elvis concert. And then you're like, actually, okay, that sounds cool. Like, let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be like, live from the Vegas Strip, 1971.
Yeah. Or they'll tell you about, like, you know, this person's got a... go to Bruce Springsteen radio for the next month or whatever on this channel. And you're like, hey, sweet, cool. I like that. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some cross promotion of some stations too. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's great. Or like there'll be an event. I remember not that long ago, they were playing the entirety of, well, not the entirety. That's not totally true. They were playing
a good portion of,
yeah, they were playing portions of every set from the Farm Aid.
Yeah.
And for Thanksgiving, I think, for American Thanksgiving. And they were advertising it on two or three other channels that I listened to. But it wasn't like, you know, constantly. It was just like once an hour I might hear like, hey, you know, this Thanksgiving on Willie's Roadhouse, whatever.
If you like this song you just heard, you might dig this.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, I will switch over there. And I did. And I listened to almost most of it like all day. I was like, this is great, man. Like, this doesn't happen when I tune into like fucking whatever, the Bear or some bullshit, like our local stations. They, you know, our local stations don't even play a local content. Like, there's a college station or the public station or whatever, too.
Yeah.
But the problem I have with those is that their programming is so segmented that it's like, yeah, maybe there's a show I really like that plays an hour or two once a week, but I have to be able to tune into it at exactly that time.
You have to be free at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then and that's it. And then if I listen to any other terrestrial radio, it's all conglomerates that play from the same fucking centralized programming playlist where they're like, here's your 100, like 40 to 100 songs that you're allowed to play right now. You're like, what the fuck, man? I don't give a shit about any of them. Like, there's times where I do just tune into the radio, just be like, is there anything? And it's like flipping channels on TV. It's like, nope, nothing. And you're like, why don't I just watch Netflix?
Well, or I try that and I'm like, all right, let's see what is actually a thing. And then it's just like commercial, 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 commercial. And you're like, wow.
But then you go on to satellite radio, and not only there are so many more niche kind of stations for like all kinds of genres, subgenres, different artists have like, you know, stations based around them to varying degrees of like the Elvis station plays nothing but Elvis songs.
Sure.
But the Frank Sinatra station plays Frank Sinatra, artists covering Frank Sinatra, artists that were associated with Frank Sinatra.
The pack,
you know, it's got a vibe. Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. You're gonna you'll probably hear some Dean Martin on the Frank Sinatra station, just for an example. Or maybe you'll hear fucking Michael Bublé doing like Kick in the Head or something like that, right? But whatever, like, you're gonna hear thing. It makes sense. I'm like, I get a kick out of that. Excuse the pun, but my favorite thing though is that there's a lot of DJ driven stations.
Sure. Yeah.
And you have a literal actual DJs who are programming to taste. Mm-hmm. And man, it's made me really think. It's like curation. I just love curation over top of like fuck the algorithm. Because if it was up to Spotify, I would just listen to like the same like Turnpike Troubadours like album over and over again. Because like they're basically that's where all like the cross sections of like my taste in music just kind of like line up.
Right.
I call them like the Tom Petty of like country music, you know, because they're just so likable, right? Like the songs are pretty well written and they're pretty competently played, but like also they're just, you know, they're just in that lane.
Yeah.
Anyway, but then. You know, I probably listen to Outlaw Country the most. Mm-hmm. You know, I switch up between handfuls of stations, depends on my mood, but like that one I listen to the most because by far the majority of the DJs that are on there, not only if they play something I like, there's a good chance they might play it again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to wait a whole week to like hear a song I liked and see if they play it again. You know, like I might hear that song like tomorrow. I might hear it again from another DJ on the same station, which is cool because it actually gives you familiarity with the song, but it doesn't do that thing like Top 40 does where, oh, if you heard a song once today, you're going to hear it five more times. I don't know. Anyway, and then, yeah, different DJs bring in like different types, like a little bit of different taste here and there. And it's the same on all the stations with DJ curation. And it's crazy cool because, you know, I love... like say at work or something, I'll throw on like the satellite radio through the app and you know, they'll be like, Johnny Knoxville has a show. I'm like, yeah, Johnny Knoxville has a show with his cousin, Roger Allen Wade. And they're going to play their taste in shit. And right. You're probably going to hear something you might not have heard before. You might hear something new. You might hear something that you're like, holy fuck. Yeah. Johnny Knoxville loves Willie Nelson. So they always play a Willie Nelson song every show. And they might go for a deep cut, you know? So like, you're like, I love Willie, but I've never heard this like version of him and Bob Dylan jamming on stage. What the fuck? That's so cool. You know, or, you know, even I'm surprised sometimes, like when you told me about Drew Carey's
Friday night show
on Underground Garage.
Drew Carey's Friday Night Freakout. That's such a good show.
It's so funny. I threw that one on the other day and he played Enter Sandman and then like said, yeah, I just played fucking Metallica. I don't care if you don't think they're cool.
Hey, I'm Drew Carey. I do what I want.
It's my radio show. I'll play Metallica if I want to, you know, but I'm like, but that's, you know, okay. Yeah. He's a celebrity for sure. But not all the DJs are celebrities. I'm just saying like, maybe you're like, well, yeah, of course he gets to play Metallica because I'm like, no, but that's the thing, man. Real DJs who would just play whatever they feel like. It's so cool, man. Like I don't know. I don't know if there was ever an era in radio when I was a kid or not. It was probably all fucking, you know, playlists and shit, like centralized playlists back then too. But at least this is cool. This is like, I don't know. That's where I hear a lot of new music is when I'm getting it.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. I hear new things. I have a chance to hear it again. Something perked my ear up. I might hear it again in a few hours or another day or two later and be like, oh yeah, that. And then I hit my Spotify and I look it up there. And
go, throw it on the list.
Yeah. The other one that I actually do hear new music from time to time is a few blogs I follow.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a very sneaky Facebook account. I should do this with Twitter actually really too, but, that I don't follow anybody.
I was going to say, what's your sneaky Facebook account called? So people can find you.
No, here's the thing. I get friend requests on it all the time, even though I'm not supposed to. I thought I had it set so that people couldn't find me or search me, but somehow they do. Mm-hmm. Fucking Facebook, get your shit together. And I follow nobody. I have no friends, no family on there. I only follow the handful of accounts that I want to. Mm-hmm. Same thing. I'm trying to fucking play the algorithm there so that if I do get any, targeted ads or anything like that. It's only for those handful of things. Like, it has something to do with that handful of things. It's not because like somebody posted an article and I was curious enough to like click on it, and then now I'm like getting nothing but like ads for trampolines or something like that. I don't know. Whatever.
Come on down to Trampoline City.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not associated with any Google accounts or anything like that. So it doesn't get that thing where you've been Googling something and then also you get a whole bunch of targeted ads for that shit in your other feeds. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Nothing like that. I don't even get Wish ads in that one.
Nah, those are fun.
Yeah, but I don't even get them.
You don't get them.
The algorithm doesn't get to me. So I've got a few blogs in there that I follow that are very specifically based on, you know, and they'll talk about new artists or new albums and stuff like that. So I check that out quite a bit too.
Well, that's a good idea. I don't read as many blogs as I used to right now. So maybe I should try to.
Yeah. Remember when the internet was all blogs?
I was just all blogging.
Yeah. When before social media took like over as much as it has.
Right.
Yeah. There used to be a handful of blogs. You remember RSS feeds?
Yeah.
I mean, they're still a thing.
We technically are. This is an RSS feed. We've got.
I know, but do you remember subscribing to them? Like actually going like, oh yeah, I want to be updated about that thing, so I'll subscribe to the RSS.
Way back in the day, there was a web comic that I followed for like an RSS feed, and I think that is the one thing that I still have. Actually, if I go up to my browser window, I can. Yeah, I have like 100. It only tells you about the last 100 things, but the last like I've got 100 things from this web comic that, you know, it just keeps updating, and I've just forgot about it and forget to check it out.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to talk about like, you know, how do you hear new music and be exposed to new things when you're a curious music fan? But it's hard because, yeah, there's so much going on. Algorithms just feed you the same shit over and over again.
Well, and then you got to take into account for like, you know, for like the show, we've given ourselves the task of listening to a new album every week and giving it at least 2 good listens, which does take up some time, you know, I mean, sometimes more than other. But for me, I found like trying to figure out what I was going to pick for this episode tough because, you know, there were some kind of ideas, but I was like, I feel like in previous years, it used to be like this was a super gem of an album and it's amazing and it's going to be forever. You know, this now is a forever album. It's going to be great. But this year I was just kind of like, what albums came out? You know,
did it reflect maybe a little bit on the year? Like, did nothing come out this year maybe that you were really looking forward to? You know, artists tend to do a 2-year album cycle more or less.
Sure.
Some more frequently than others. Some are more prolific and put more shit out earlier. But like, you know, maybe this was a year a bunch of artists skipped. Or
that's true. Bit of a sleeper year.
The kind of people you're paying attention to, they put their albums out last year, the year before.
That's fair.
I don't know. Well, let's get into it. Like, you know, so I didn't want to get too hard lined with the categories. I just said pick a couple of things basically in the like new to me and, you know, what actually came out this year. Mm-hmm. Let's start with new to me. I don't know. Was there anything though, if you're really listening to these albums, most of them are from decades past or whatever, that, you know, that all you're like, holy shit, I didn't know anything about this person or this group or, you know, and now this is now new to me.
I mean, I see, and it kind of blends together. Like, actually, you know what? Mandaku. Was it Mandaku or Mandaku?
Mandaku. Our friends in Mandaku who are actually having their album released this weekend, I believe.
Yeah, still counts. Still counts. New to me and new this year.
It'll have happened once you guys hear this, but
that's a sweet album.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah, fair enough. New to you. I think this is their debut record, so I don't know
a lot of people.
Band started, but it'd be new to everybody, new to them, and they may have had a previous release, I think, maybe a single or an
just
EP,
like a
or
single EP or something like that.
Yeah. Well, hey, yeah, we gave that their album a listen. I wish I had remembered the name of it right off the top here. I'd give it a plug, but I remember thinking, yeah, Charlie's gonna like this.
Yeah, you were so right. I dug it. I just saw it here, but now I don't.
Yeah, very prog rock. But like some elements of, you know, like video game music almost.
And the Temple of Man and Evil.
Right. Temple of Man and Evil.
Go check it out. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, so for me, I've got a few things on here.
Well, I've got some other things, but that's just something that I could remember from the podcast specifically.
Okay, well, so
go ahead.
Well, speaking of Spotify, and they did their wrap up you know, and it shows you all the stuff you've been listening to. And somebody that I started listening to that I'm going to put in the new to me category is Billy Strings. Now, I didn't only just hear his name this last year, and I didn't only just hear him the first time this last year, but I only really started paying attention to him in this last year. Basically, I think it's just his career has been kind of blown up, and you know, he's kind of looked at as this. He's 29 years old now, but like, you know, when his career was really starting to take off, I don't know, like, I think he put out his first EP as early as 2013. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. So he was a kid, like he was like 20 years old. He's really been, you know, getting people's attention, and I'd been hearing his name for a while, and I heard his one single that came out a few years ago, Dust in a Baggie. And you know, it's a real tight bluegrass jam, and subject matter is, you know, like drugs. So I enjoyed it. I know it made it into a couple of playlists here and there over time, but I hadn't heard much else from him and hadn't really given much thought. But then music that he's been putting out over the last few years, turns out he's fucking prolific as fuck. I think he's put out something like five full-length albums, three that came out in like the last couple of years, plus some EPs and singles, lots of collaborations. I started checking out some of his live sets. He puts out tons of his live sets on YouTube.
That's sweet.
Oh, the band, him, just amazing stuff. So it's kind of brought me around on the, I don't know about Newgrass per se, but like, you know, I always just found a lot of like the Newgrass artists from the 90s and early 2000s, a lot of like your Nickel Creeks and stuff like that, Union Station. I found that sometimes when they kind of got lost in like their progressive jams,
sure,
that's where they would lose me. You know, I liked hearing, I like, you know, like a guy like Jerry Douglas. He's a master on the dobro, but but then he would kind of lose me when he would go into like these kind of like otherwise like jams. But I always found it because it was just a little too much on the adult contemporary side. A little too nice, a little too sweet, a little too, I don't know, just nothing I could bite my teeth into, right? Even if musically it was good, I was just like, you know, or like, what's the word I'm looking for? It was, you know, like technically it was good. Sure. I was just not moved by it. But then this kid comes along and he definitely has a Newgrass style. He's definitely he's a progressive, but he brings these elements of like the progressive rock and things like that into this bluegrass world. But he's also young and it's got like a youthfulness to it. It's got a freshness to it. It's fucking mind melting sometimes listening to this stuff. It's like, it's almost psychedelic, and he's doing it primarily just on acoustic instruments, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think just shows another level of talent, but then also not afraid to explore like electric music and things like that. It's really cool watching him do these live sets where all of a sudden he kicks on an overdrive pedal and he's still playing, you know, some like, you know, he's still playing his Martin guitar.
Right.
and all of a sudden he's playing these like fucking mind melting solos, and the songs are going to all these trippy jam parts and stuff like that. And I'm eating it up. I'm just loving all of it. I think my goal in life is to like go to like get high, like take some shrooms or drop some acid and go to a Billy Strings concert.
That's good. That's a good goal.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm counting his whole career as new to me because I've only just started paying attention to him this year. Sure. And, you know, I'm sad I didn't get in on the ground floor like other people, but you know, I also, if you look at how his music has been tracking, and I don't just mean on the charts, but his career altogether, it's like, it feels like people are really catching on right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a bummer. I missed the part of the career where I maybe would catch him at a club.
Oh yeah. But,
you know, but I'm here. I'm here for it now. So
you're late to the party, but at least he showed up.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any other new to me's?
I got one new to me, and I see things get fuzzy because the last couple of years have been fuzzy. So I don't know when you originally showed me this album, but I know in the last year I've been listening to the shit out of it, and I'm talking about Gary Clark Jr.'s live album.
Oh, yeah.
That's been a big one for me. That's my new to me this year is, you know, now that I found a copy, I listened to it a bunch. It's also on my algorithm. You know, it's like the tone and the guitar playing and the, you know, that's just such a great album.
Oh yeah, man. It's a masterclass. That album too is just his live tone. His tone in the studio is amazing too. He just, he's a master when it comes to dialing in great guitar sounds, and he can play the shit out of the thing.
Absolutely. So yeah, that one's a big one for me, for my new to me this year.
I was going to say, while we're still on the new to me, maybe I know that we've just discovered this band, and so a band we're both a little bit behind on, but our friend Kimberly introduced us to a band called All Them Witches.
Yeah, I was wondering if you're going to do that.
Yeah, I just want to bring it in as kind of an honorable mention. I haven't had a chance to do a deep dive on their catalog yet, but everything I've put on, I've been like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Like, hell yeah. I think what I said was, I'm like, it's all the things I like about stoner rock, and it's all and it's none of the things I don't like about stoner rock. You know, like, it's just good so far. So I'm looking forward to getting into
some of them, which is,
yeah. Do you have anything else in the new to me category?
Yeah, I do, man. I just, in the last month or so, I've really gotten into, and I can't believe, like, this is totally skipped my radar. And I remember texting you guys a little while ago, and I was like, hey, do you guys ever listen to Oingo Boingo? Because I just started listening to this album, Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo, and it fucking rules.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
It's new to me.
Yeah, I guess Oingo Boingo could be new to you. That's funny.
I missed them somehow. Like, I've heard the name before, but I never really checked them out.
And then, I feel like they would always show up on those compilations that would have, like, Devo on them.
Yeah, which is awesome because I love Devo.
Shit like that.
But yeah, Dead Man's Party, it's got the Weird Science, you know, that's a good, that was my intro actually, because I clicked on the Weird Science theme.
Bongo.
And then like, yeah, the song Dead Man's Party and what else? No One Lives Forever just like brought me in, and I'm like, I'm here. I'm going to find this. This is going on my wanted list, and it keeps getting spun. I love it. Check it out. Oingo Boingo, if you haven't, because most people already like, they're like, yeah, obviously.
Okay, cool. Why don't we get into stuff that actually came out this year?
New this year.
Yeah. So I've got a couple. I've decided I was going to pick a couple of records and then maybe a couple of songs. So Sierra Farrell finally got her new album out, and it's called Long Time Coming. And I have a feeling that that's a reference to the fact that she had singles out back in like 2019 that I think eventually ended up on this album and stuff like that. It took a while for this thing to come out, but yeah, Sierra Farrell's A Long Time Coming. Holy fuck, man. It is amazing production. It's good. It sounds so good. I don't know who produced this record, but you know, her voice is super unique. She's got kind of a rootsy feel. Very got like old timey, but without sounding like she's trying to just do a retro throwbacky thing.
She's not just,
you know,
putting a thing on her voice.
Yeah. You know, like the instrumentation is definitely very inspired. Like if you're a fan of somebody like the Asylum Street Spankers, you could probably appreciate, you know, or a Pokey LaForge. That's another guy that, you know, has that.
That's probably something that more people will recognize.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I love some Asylum Street Spankers for sure.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you're a fan of that kind of old school acoustic, like, music sound or whatever, totally, then really check out Sierra Farrell. But the songwriting and her voice are just amazing. And then this album sounds so good. The production on it is amazing. I don't know how to describe it other than just like, you hear the separation between the instruments in like such a natural way. Everything feels very warm and very live, but without that thing where like it doesn't sound like it's like crowding at all. It's amazing, amazing record. I highly recommend it. I'm trying to think of a song that I'd recommend. I know personally, I really liked Why'd You Do It. I think In Dreams is a really popular tune. Sierra Farrell's Long Time Coming. Highly recommend that album. Yeah. Do you want to go next, Charlie? Or?
Yeah, man. Let's go shot for shot, basically, until I run out of shots. And I feel like you got more shots than me, but that's okay. I got an ace up my sleeve. So I say for my first one, and probably the biggest, best new album of the year for me, Mike and the Moon Pies, One to Grow On.
Ooh, I had a feeling you might say that.
I've been digging that album quite a bit this year.
Mike and the Moon Pies is somebody that I got into a couple of years ago, and I decided that I needed some of their records in my life
because I've actually get some
online
of them
a lot. I put in for the pre-order for this album. What's it called?
One to Grow On.
One to Grow On. I was thinking Paycheck to Paycheck, but that's a single.
That's album. The song. Yeah, that's the song that got me hooked, and I was like, all right, I got to check out the album.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Anyway, but I feel like I put in for my pre-order so long ago now that
it'll be a real treat for you.
Yeah, I saw them post on social media the other day, though, like at the record pressing plant that they were actually getting made. So I was like, woohoo, because I ordered two other albums of theirs.
Oh, cool.
At the same time, they have an album full of Gary Stewart songs. I think they're unreleased Gary Stewart songs anyway. So I couldn't find it online anywhere. So I'm like, well, I'll take a chance on this, but I fucking love Gary Stewart. So,
and then
their last album too. The one that they recorded in London, that's got some guest appearances from the London Philharmonic Orchestra on there.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully they're all shooting at the same time.
This one, I mean, I think one of the big things for me is just the balance between like the guitar, which is not always clean. It's like, you know, kind of crunchy guitar, you know, a little bit of gain on there in one ear, and then the pedal steel in the other ear. And like, I think just the balance of it throughout the whole album is just awesome. You know, I mean, the songs are great too, but yeah, get into it with Paycheck to Paycheck. That's a good starter.
Yeah, that was a great single.
It's a reference about
spending all your money on Johnny Paycheck songs.
That's right.
So, I mean, I can get behind that. I'm going to recommend the album he put out this year called Renewal. It's a really good album. It definitely explores all the avenues that he normally explores. It's a little more on the more traditional bluegrassy side, like not overly, not, it definitely doesn't sound like a Bill Monroe record. Mm-hmm. But I think it's probably just a little more accessible for people who want to check him out. That's why I'd recommend this one. I like it a lot, but his previous albums, Home and before that, have a little more of the psychedelic side.
Right.
But this one is not lacking on that stuff per se. It's just that, you know, right off the top, it starts off with a more familiar sound to a lot of people, but I think you get to hear his chops, you get to hear his songwriting, you get to just hear his voice. It's solid. It's a solid record. It's really good. It seems to be blown up. So, you know, maybe you don't need my recommendation for it, but I'm gonna throw my endorsement behind it. So Billy String's Renewal, I would highly recommend checking that out, especially if you're a fan of string band music.
Sure.
All right, what you got, Charlie?
My next one's going to be completely out of left field for that. Anything that is not in the same realm of what we're doing, we've been talking about so far. And I mean, you know, I like cheesy stuff. You know how much I like cheesy stuff. So for one of this year's record store days, and I know someone that you're not necessarily the biggest fan of, but when the Foo Fighters got together and they recorded a half an album of Bee Gees covers, and they called it the DGs, Hail Satin. I couldn't help myself.
Why DGs?
I don't know.
Dave Grohl, maybe?
The Dave Grohls. That makes sense. The DGs.
The DGs instead of the Bee Gees. Because what does BG stand for? I never even thought of that.
The Barry Gibbs.
Barry Gibbs, yeah. Brothers Gibb?
Brothers Gibb.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, I haven't listened to it, and I probably won't.
I don't expect you to.
It sounds like it could be fun, I suppose.
I mean, it's fun. It's like disco, but like a little bit of heavy, you know, like a little bit more Foo Fighter-y. But I mean, if you don't like Foo Fighters, that's maybe not a turn on for you.
Okay. I'm going to go into a couple of singles.
Get singly.
They're not necessarily singles. Well, one is for sure, but this one. So I've decided that was going to be my theme today. I'm going to Billy Strings fanboy.
Oh boy.
And, but this is what's interesting. So you probably are aware of Bela Fleck and maybe the Flecktones.
Sure.
But of course, Bela Fleck himself is a prolific, banjo player, and he's experimented quite a bit with, you know, many genres, but he's added bluegrass elements to prog rock and everything like that. So it makes a lot of sense that he put out an album this year called My Bluegrass Heart. Mm-hmm. And it has some fucking mind-bending playing all over it. And a track that I checked out first because I was like, look, you see what Billy Strings is doing. He's hanging out on this Bela Fleck record called Slippery Eel. It's a song by Bela Fleck featuring Billy Strings and Chris Dial. Chris Dial's the mandolin player. Anyway, it has elements. The song itself does 3-4 the bluegrass time, and then it goes into like these like odd time signatures of just, I don't know, man, just trippy back and forth, you know, instrumental shit. It's so good. The very end of the song, they have a cut from Billy sitting in the studio going like, you got a name for this thing yet, Bela? Because you could call it Holy Goddamn Fuck. anyway, so yeah, I just Slippery Eel, Bela Fleck, check it out if you want to check out any song from My Bluegrass Heart, and just realize that yeah, man, you're listening to Masters at Work. So that's one of my picks for a single that came out this year, even though I don't think it was technically released as a single, but one song off of one album.
Sure Yeah. It's a single song.
Mm-hmm. You got anything like that, Charlie?
Well, how many more picks do you have?
I have one more.
You have one more? Okay, well, then I will do this. I will play a call in Audible and say she's not here today, but by her absolute admission, Naomi Carmack's best album of the year of 2021 was Limp Bizkit's Still Sucks. So she's not here, so I'm going to put it out there for her, right, because yeah, she told us in our...
Well, by default, chat, right? She told us, she's like, my only album. So it has to be. It has to be Still Sucks.
By default, that's her favorite album, new album of the year. That's the only one she heard.
Okay. Okay, cool. Well, do you have another one? Or?
You know what? I don't have as much to say about it, but I also really enjoyed Blackberry Smoke's You Hear Georgia album, with the caveat of there's that Hey Delilah song, and I don't really, can't get behind that one.
Oh,
the cover of that Hey Delilah song or whatever.
The cover of by the Plain White Tees or whatever.
Yeah, I believe that's
Delilah. Something about New York City or something like that, right?
No, what is it called? Hold on. I did the least amount of, because I didn't expect us to get to around three, but the rest of the album, don't even worry about that. The rest of the album is good.
Well, I'm just going to say that Tyler Childers was on the Broken Hearts and Dirty Windows album that came out. It's a tribute to John Prine, who we lost last year. A lot of amazing artists are on this album, but the single that stands out for me is the Tyler Childers version of Yes, I Guess They Ought to Name a Drink After You. You know, Tyler Childers, it's not often you hear him crooning away in a more classic country style, and man, his voice is just raw and real and awesome. And of course you've got the John Prine songwriting.
Sure.
And it's the countryest song on the album. The rest of them, of course, are a little more on the folky side, as John Prine was apt to be. Mm-hmm. But god damn if it isn't a good song. And Tyler doing it like is an amazing it's amazing delivery. His voice is just amazing on it. The band sounds great. Mm. So yeah, if you haven't heard it yet, check it out. Yes, I Guess They Ought to Name a Drink After You, Tyler Childers, but also check out the entire Broken Hearts and Dirty Windows album. I think you'd find there's some surprises on there.
Sweet.
Yeah. I've got an honorable mention.
What's your honorable mention?
I really got sucked down this rabbit hole with this really strange song. Ooh. Called Psycho by Leon Payne, written by Leon Payne. It was originally recorded, I think, first by Eddie Nowick, but it's also been done by the likes of Jack Kittle, Elvis Costello. The Sadies did a version with Andrew Williams. Huh. It's a song that got by me, and the reason I'm bringing up is it's more in the new to me category.
Sure.
Of how sometimes you can hear a song and it grabs you, and then you go, what the fuck? And then you start looking into it, and like there's a whole history of the song, and it's kind of like a cult classic of songs, if that right. makes sense.
Sure.
But anyway, just to give you a little context of the song, it's written from the point of view of like a serial killer or a mass murderer. And yeah, the lyrics are pretty disturbing. And you wouldn't expect it written by somebody by Leon Payne. And it's the kind of song where it's pretty unsettling. So you might listen to it once and go like, why would I want to ever listen to this again? But then it's so intriguing that you go like, huh, well, this guy also did it. And this guy also did it. And these guys also did it. So then you just start listening to all the versions of all the songs. So I'm not going to give away too much. I mean, you know, listener discretion advised, though, there are themes of murder and puppy murder. And
oh, boy.
And yeah. Yeah. It is written from the point of view of, you know, of a killer is the idea, you know, and the song is called Psycho. And yeah, anyway,
it's not like it's the little, Count Five Psycho.
No, it's no,
yeah, Psycho.
No, this is. It gets credited as being kind of an early example of Psycho Billy, but because it's a country song with a dark theme, but it's not necessarily because it's like a punk rock country song. Like it's, like I said, it was written by Leon Payne in the 60s. And anyway, if you want to have a fun little, you know, you see the dark side of the, like the dark, dark side. Like this goes in the kind of category of murder ballads, but like even a step further, let's say.
Right.
Like the murder ballads are like, oh my God, I can't believe I did it. I'm going to be locked up forever. This one, the chorus is literally, you think I'm psycho, don't you, mama? Anyway, so that's my honorable mentions because that's literally the last couple of days I've been like looking into versions of that song and it's still 2021. Nice. Any honorable mentions?
I don't have anything else on my list. I'm all out of tunes, I think.
All right. Well, we got to keep this episode short anyway. We got to wrap up. So, yeah, thanks for hanging out. Those are our picks today. Do you want to go over them real quick, Charlie? I'll just do mine first. I said, check out Billy Strings. Check out his album Renewal. Check out that Bela Fleck song that T guests on, Slippery Eel on My Bluegrass Heart. Also, if I had to recommend any albums this year, Sierra Farrell's A Long Time Coming, My Gab, That Blew My Mind. And then Tyler Childers' song on the album Broken Hearts and Dirty Windows. Yes, I guess they ought to name A Drink After You. Hell yeah. And then me and Charlie, of course, we've just gotten into All Them Witches. So if you're a stoner rock fan, you know, there's some stoner rock for you. Yeah, Charlie, what do you got?
I started with Gary Clark Jr.'s live album. It's beautiful, amazing. Check it out. And then Oingo Boingo, Dead Man's Party. I guess my honorable mention was Mandaku because I mentioned them right off the top there. Great stuff. Go check it out. Mike and the Moon Pies, one to grow on for album of the year, and followed up by the weird DG's Hail Satin. And then of course, filling in for Naomi that she would love it if you would go listen to Limp Bizkit Still Sucks. And you know, she wants to talk to with you about how much you love that album. Do you love it as much as she does?
Yeah, right, exactly. If you want to tell her how much you think Limp Bizkit is the best album band of all time, and it's, you're so happy they finally put something out in 2021, make sure you give her a call at 780-851-8785.
You're right again, Quinn.
It's like she's here. All right, and then of course go and check out all our websites and our social media and all that sort of stuff, and like, subscribe wherever you find any of that stuff. Charlie, tell people where that
it's easy, just go to l2lpodcast.com.
okay, and as always, we've got a Patreon, so you know, this was a short one, but if you want it to be long, go to Patreon, patreon.com/learningtolisten. The long version of the episode is on there. We put stuff up early, sometimes, most of the time, usually.
Depending on our recording schedule.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you can help us out. So patreon.com/learningtolisten. Next week is going to be Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to have a Christmas episode.
That happened already.
I know, right?
I'm gonna have to dig up some new Christmas albums.
So get the jingle bells, get the eggnog, pour a little rum in there, and cozy on up with Learning to Listen, because yeah, it's Christmas, and maybe while you're you know, you got some gifts there, and you gotta wrap them up.